If you would like to support the Path of Night podcast and the crew in our projects, we currently accept contributions to coffee.com/pathofnight. And thank you for listening.
Path of Night is an actual play Vampire the Masquerade podcast set in the classic world of darkness. We're all friends, we're here to have fun, but our story can include graphic violence, drug use, sexual content, and other mature themes. We've talked at our table about safety, comfort, and consent, both as players and storytellers. We know what to expect, we're all excited to be here, and we want you to feel the same. So listener discretion is advised. Now, let's walk the Path of Night.
Last time on Path of Night, as the Coterie prepares for the trial, Neil suffers a terrifying vision. The Coterie rushes to his aid, but has little time to calm the Malkavian before Prince Rollins declares the start of the night. The Prince demands a second blood bond over Britta, in response to the Prince of Boston acknowledging her, and to further secure her loyalty after rumors about ties within the Coterie surfaces. The trial then begins with Rhys laying out his case. Miles puts forth his defense. Rhys is interrupted when they receive the same warning of the schism that Neil did in his vision. The Prince demands an ordeal of Neil to kill Amara and to present the Anarch Bruja's head to the Setites. Miles is promoted to Seneschal and takes the opportunity to apologize publicly to Elsa Linden, fulfilling his end of Britta's bargain to save Neil.
Johnny, you head outside alone in pursuit of Weathers. The Elysium is still going behind you. You can kind of hear the faint sounds of conversation and gossip in the backdrop. The parking lot is largely clear, which means that from across the way, you can pretty clearly see Weathers just approaching one of those huge black SUVs with tinted windows. He makes his way to the trunk, pops it, and you approach.
You splitting out of here, old man?
There's work to be done. What about you?
To be honest, I was hoping you might give me some direction.
You see him in the back. He takes off his jacket and starts putting on, like, this kind of symbol-looking ballistic vest.
You about to go to war right now?
Johnny, we've been at war. I'm going to go try to keep someone alive. And I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to keep doing that.
Who are you going to keep alive?
Don't worry about it.
Look, man, for better or for worse, you are the clan Primogen of the city.
No. You're the Primogen. Go tell the prince. I'm out of here.
Weathers, that is an incredibly stupid idea.
Stupid? If that's a fucking stupid idea, you're gonna fit right in. This domain is full of stupid decisions. And you know it.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Look, I don't know what's going on with Jane. But I know there's something going on with Suarez. What do you know about it?
The detective?
The once detective, yeah.
Who is he to Jane? She asked me to protect him.
They know each other, somehow.
Somehow? You can't do any better than that?
You can hear, like, this frustrated growl come from the fucking Bruja. Suarez was someone who helped Jane a lot before her embrace. He was a good guy. But recently, he's been just spinning. She keeps tabs on him and has tried to help in the past whenever he's run into issues, but there's something going on with the guy. She thinks it's big, and...
Last I heard, I think Miles had put a whammy on him.
The fuck do you mean a whammy?
Well, you know how the venture can be, right? Get into your head, do some sloppy work about trying to keep you off their trail.
Jane thinks he might be a threat to the Masquerade.
Some of the mortal police... at the scene of Neil's Haven, had apologized to me on behalf of Suarez. I think he's been booted off the force, or I don't know.
He brought some kind of a story, put together a report on the old Zantosa house. Suarez has been watching it and learning about it for, I don't know, it's got to be a year at least. Apparently there had been some deaths tied to it, and he's been following it ever since. For all I know, he's obsessed, lost to it.
Are you going after Jane and this guy? Or are you going to seek out Amaya?
Johnny, don't worry about that. You need to worry about where you're headed next, not me.
Weathers, that's exactly why I'm asking you. Because I have no idea what's going to happen with this Amaya situation. My coterie just got told that we got to put a hit out on her. I'm not doing that. I don't know where that's going to leave me in the city or my coterie. But you are one of my few allies left in this city. And I need to know what you're doing, or what you intend to do, so that way we're not stepping on each other's feet.
I'm going to do what I think is right. That's all I can do anymore. Trying to play the game, you just forget yourself. And in the end, it doesn't pay off for you anyways. So, I'm just gonna try to remember what it's like to be me and be that.
The fuck does that mean?
You'll figure it out sometime. He takes a shotgun and a battle axe out of the trunk, takes it over to the front seat and sets it down in the passenger seat.
If I call a rant, will you show up?
I don't know. He gets in the truck and starts it. Moments later, the SUV is pulling out.
Johnny leans up against the car in the parking lot, pulls out a Morley, stuffs it in his mouth, and lights up. Kind of just stares at the ground and just kind of shakes his head a little bit, trying to figure out what the fuck he's going to do. What sounds are going on in the night right now? What does the city sound like? What does it feel like?
Cold, wet, kind of hear the sounds of cars driving, people milling about, bums trying to get cash. It's the kind of sound the city always has, just this callous, zombie-like hustle. Sounds kind of tragic.
After what seems like a couple of seconds, Johnny notices that his cigarette butt has just burned down to his fingers. And he looks down and sees that, like, just this huge ash is sitting there, and he's probably been sitting there thinking in contemplation for much longer than he thought. He flicks the cigarette. And he goes for a walk. He just walks away from Elysium and just kind of starts walking through the downtown area, aimlessly kind of just looking for answers.
You head down the street, and you kind of find that your presence has become so imposing over the course of the past few months that the homeless folk who usually ask for money, even they can't seem to work up the courage to stay on your path, and everyone just kind of moves out of your way, afraid of you.
Something I gotta check on with everything that happened earlier and...
Sure. What do you need to check on?
Neil, why don't we take a walk?
No, hold on. What,
Primogen next.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Do you...
What you...
I can keep it together. Do you want me to...
This might be good.
Do you need...
Yeah, I...
Okay. Yeah, of course.
No rest for the wicked, as they say.
Can you give me 10 seconds?
Yeah.
And he sort of extricates himself from Britta's hug and then turns and gives Wynn a huge hug.
Wynn bear hugs him.
She grows bear arms.
Hey, I don't think I could have kept it together if it wasn't for you, so I, you know, thanks. I
anytime, yeah. Buddy.
And then he does like a couple of bro hug thumps on her back. that's cool. That's how Miles and Johnny hug. And then
he's 100% correct.
he steps back.
You good?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a freak out later. But right now, you know, gotta pay it forward.
You can have the freak out now if you want. No.
I'm gonna have to have a freak out after I talk to Nyx anyways. She freaks me out. So, I'll just have a bigger one later than two smaller ones. Double up on it.
I think that dumpster's still there.
I might go scream into a dumpster. I'm not good at hitting. Let's find her. She's, and I'm gonna kind of look around for Nyx, but also the sense of horrible, icky feelings that I get anytime she's around.
Nyx is quietly headed for the roof.
Neil just points his finger up.
All right. Do you know if we can follow her?
It's a public space, and she will probably make herself very known if she doesn't want to talk right now. I don't know what her deal is, and she's been my primogen for, like, decades, and I still don't know what her deal is. So, but, quick question. I'm sorry. My head's been kind of not on straight for, you know, reasons. What do you need to talk to Nyx about again?
Earlier, and I'm saying this because I still have my shit together, okay? Earlier, there was a confrontation with... She goes to nod her head towards Johnny, and she realizes that he is not there because of his successful stealth roll. I don't know where Johnny went.
Wynn kind of looks around, realizing that, yeah, Johnny's not here.
Johnny and Primogen Renwick, they had an argument, and it was kind of publicly declared that people think that I have a Sabbat connection, and Primogen Nix, she knew something about Romeo, and I think she knows something about me.
Okay.
So I want to get a handle on that, especially if there's doubts of whether or not I'm loyal to the domain, and I don't want the prince to think that I'm loyal, not disloyal to the domain.
He doesn't think you're disloyal.
He doesn't. And we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that. But he doesn't think you're disloyal. Actually, he made a big proclamation that you should not be considered disloyal. So that if that helps get your head on straight right now. And Neil looks very... I mean, he spends a lot of time with Asimites who eat people. Like, he looks very sympathetic right now.
I just don't want him to be mad at me.
He doesn't, and he's not. I promise you.
More mad than usual.
I'm good at reading people.
More mad than usual?
He's not.
He's usually...
Miles, oh my god.
Trying to help myself, sorry.
He's not mad at you, Britta.
Not kind of mad.
I
What kind of mad?
Can stop. Both of you stop helping. Both of you stop helping. Oh my god. I can't. He's not mad. He is not mad. Period. End of statement and sentence. He's not. Let's go talk to Nix now before you spiral. I'm familiar with spiraling. We're not going to spiral right now. We're going to go talk to Nix.
Okay.
And Neil gives Wynn and Miles, who he is blood bonded to, both looks of like, I'm sorry I snapped, but, you know,
apology not accepted.
She's blood bonded. She's spiraling like crazy. This is kind of my wheelhouse. Like, don't
get up here with me. Bitch, I have claws.
I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm familiar when someone was having a complete mental breakdown about emotions.
He's explaining a lot with his eyes right
he
now.
He does do that. That's what his eyes do. I could project it into your brain, but after giving a way too complex look to Miles and Wynn, Neil looks over at Britta and is like, okay, let's go upstairs. We can...
Okay.
Can you guys find Johnny? What?
Yeah. Check
I'm
in
a little
on him?
Surprised that he's not here.
I'm not.
To celebrate the good news or whatever. I know. We're going to have to think about that. We're going to have to deal with it. And probably not in a way that Johnny's going to be happy with.
You guys go see Nix. Okay. Wynn, see if you can locate Johnny. I'm going to go to my former office and sit there for a bit.
Britta, what are you doing?
I intend to walk upstairs to the roof as soon as Neil is done. And if he keeps talking for too long, Britta will just start edging away from the conversation.
Which seems to be that's what happens.
Definitely what happens, then I hurry to catch up. On the way up the stairs, Primogen Nix has been someone I've been nervous and uncomfortable around for like 30 years. Is there anything I can prep Britta for about how to talk to her the right way?
Or am I... She doesn't talk to you.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
You can spy Britta.
By your perspective, she's already making a mistake.
It's fair.
You can spy Britta using the very tip of her sleeve to just dab at the corner of her eye, you know, in case there was any hint of a tear at the idea of Roland's being mad at her. Make sure to preserve her makeup before the meeting. She's going up to the roof.
Neil sort of walks behind her, three steps behind and to the left, just kind of like, I don't really want to be here, but I am the Molkavian. I guess I should be here.
She turns to look at you. She herself is kind of dressed in like a shawl and wearing a long skirt. Very much kind of like covered up under the stars. She kind of pulls up this hood over and you can kind of see this one very long braid that kind of comes down the side of her neck.
Hi.
You have been looking for me for a long time.
Yes. Yes, I have. I've really been hoping that we could speak. And with everything that went on in court the past couple nights, I really thought you might be able to tell me more about me.
The conflict in court is trivial. It is one of the few things that still gives a sense of normalcy here in the final nights. Struggling men, women in pursuit of their own temporal power is commonplace among the kindred. It is only when such pursuits are abandoned that there is any real concern, because it is when they step away from those pursuits that they begin to see the world and realize what is to come next. You have approached me out of some morbid desire to step away from those temporal conflicts.
I've been told that you knew something about Romeo. Something that would connect into me.
And were you warned that knowledge carries with it consequences that are not easily undone?
Yes.
I knew Romeo well and became privy to his secrets. It is a responsibility of mine to know all of the secrets of all of the kindred through all of their histories through this domain. Even you.
Britta kind of dips her head, taking a moment to like focus on the tips of her heels and like recollect before she looks back up. And she says, I hope that knowing more about myself would help me control who I am, make it who I want to be. And others seem to know my secret or to know some part of it, and I don't think it'll ever go away, whatever it is. So I'm hoping I can make a choice about that.
I should warn you that the truth is very nearly the opposite.
The opposite?
By coming to know your past, you will find yourself defined by it. Defined by the will of others. In your ignorance, you have an opportunity to define your own truths. Britta, I should warn you that these two things will not coexist.
Britta looks over Nyx for a moment, over to the sky, taking in sort of the stars and the roof, the city around them, looks back and says, did Romeo have that choice?
Romeo had the appearance of choice. But he had no quarter, no opportunity to define his own purpose. He was a pawn. And unlike you, he remained a pawn.
Unlike me would mean that I've gotten my own will along the way from whatever this is.
In a manner of speaking. Unfortunately, choices you've made along the way have carried a price regarding that free will. But ultimately, I believe you will find Upton Rowlands to be a temporary presence in the grand scheme of things. A pawn himself. You see, Upton Rowlands is a man who believes that he usurped power. He believes that he took it by right because his sire was such an evil woman. But the truth is, he remembers what she has decided he remembers. And just as the young, arrogant Roman Pendragon believes himself a king, Upton, too, is but a pawn of a greater power.
How does his sire play into this?
Georgia Rowlands may yet be, much like Upton in terms of ambition. But unlike him, she was clever enough to complete the objective she had given herself, and drank the heart's blood of her sire Balthazar, an ancient among the Venture. But in her ambition, she did not understand the power that she claimed. And much of Georgia Rowlands' consciousness is co-opted by the sire she betrayed. And so, Upton is unreliable, confused, dilly-dallies and gets himself into all manner of trouble because he wrestles with his own desires and the whims of a sire that he thinks he diablerized. There will come a night when their story comes to fruition and you will be free of your bonds.
Britta swallows and runs her fingers over her wrists for a moment before quietly admitting, right now, it's hard to make myself want that. I know what I would have wanted before, and it's hard to feel it now. I wish it wasn't hard to feel it now, but
it is a distraction, nothing more. These are the final nights. Imagine wasting evenings worried about whether or not Upton Rowlands likes you, when the very cosmos deteriorates and tears itself asunder. How trivial these politics are. How worthless they become. How much have you been taught about your discipline aspects?
I've mostly been learning it from my coterie, from my own observations.
Did they show you the red star?
The red star? No.
Come to the edge of the roof. She kind of beckons you.
Britta will do so. What's Neil doing?
Neil's a star-obsessed Balkavian Auspex 5 boy. Has he experienced the red star?
I don't think he's seen it yet. Do you see that celestial body up there? She kind of points at this. It looks like it could be Mars.
Britta follows the line that her finger draws.
Neil, I think, is nowhere near Mars. It is definitely kind of a new addition.
I think so. That bright one there?
Yes. 5 years ago, a kindred would need to use mystic rites or great power in order to be able to see it. And yet here we are, capable of casually glancing at it so long as we know exactly where to look.
I will look at it with heightened senses of vision and see if that changes anything.
Yeah, it's this bright fucking red star.
Now that Neil knows where to look, is also in that very familiar way looking up at the stars in the sky, but he has this very concerned, curious, like, anxiety on his face.
It is considered a sign of the end times, and not just for us, but for all denizens of this world. Even the lupines look upon it with fear. They call it the eye of their anti-sun.
Anti-sun.
The star of doom. In truth, one in a sea of omens.
Neil nods in agreement, like, yes, that's accurate.
And yet that star shines.
And that star has something to do with my past?
Yes. Where you come from, that star would prove as evidence of all that they have built toward. The end of all kindred.
I don't want to be a pawn, but I feel like I don't know how not to be a pawn without knowing what I am. There's so much that I do that I have no control over, so many things about myself that only pop up when I have no control over them.
And you would know the truth?
Britta looks to Neil to see how he feels about that.
Neil tears his eyes away from the sky and looks over at Britta. We talked a long while ago, it feels like now, about how sometimes once you know things, you can't unknow them. And once you see things, you can't unsee them. And that sometimes just choosing to be someone is good enough. But I know how much this drives you. No matter what, I will stand by you and I will support you. And I know everybody down there will do the same. Everybody mean Miles and Wynn and Johnny, not everybody. Okay. And he sort of takes a step back, giving her a quietly supportive look, like, whatever you decide, it's okay.
It's the space of time, if Britta were mortal, where she would be taking in deep breaths. But her being a vampire, it's so still. Just picking out details with her heightened vision and processing around them in a visual sense. It seems like her answer in some ways is inevitable. And she looks back to Nyx and she says,
I think I have to know.
You are part of a circle that has existed for millennia. Worshippers of death. Those who bend knee to ancient Cainites. Of unspeakable power, guarded by the sacred Aralu, from the shadow of Enoch. But for your sake, I will be brief. You are a chatterling, handpicked, taken from your life at a young age, and trained. A consummate pawn, a weapon to be leveraged against their enemies, and in this case, this enemy is an old one. I am the monitor for a group who calls themselves the Enkanu. It is our purpose to watch and understand the deeper, unseen currents that flow beneath the politics of kindred. We must forever sit outside, for in acting directly, we would disrupt the flow of destiny. Your destiny. Yours was to aid in a shadow crusade, to make war upon a plague that twists the flesh. You have seen the discipline of the fiends, yes?
The Tsimitsu.
Yes.
Yes, I've seen it. I reacted really badly.
Yes, you reacted with your training. The Tsimitsu were not always as they are. They were once wise men, capable of tapping into the spirit of domains they walked, and were wise kings. But then your circle performed a sin that it could never walk away from. In exploring reality, the realms, an elder of the Tsimitsu, the old clan, found something, and it twisted them forever, warping the very curse of Cain until they were in turn capable of warping the flesh at will. But this discipline, this alteration, it has a consciousness to it. It corrupts and twists the souls of everything it touches. And so deep does its power run that even the antediluvian of the Tsimitsu was not as immune. In rebellion, the Tsimitsu hoped to destroy their ancient sire, this warped monster of the flesh. But its mastery of evolution had brought it beyond even death. Its corpse is here on this continent, shipped far by the Stanovich family, those who now call themselves Zantosa.
That was that presence.
But a piece of it.
There's more?
You, your purpose, was to destroy these things. But Mr. Zantosa was prepared, and you did not survive. You were spared the worst of it by your comrades, but they are long gone now, preparing for how they will put this creature to rest even still. And still they are without answers.
Was I meant to be alive as a chatterling?
Yes, all chatterlings are.
And there's more like me? They lived through that battle?
Yes.
And they're still fighting it?
I do not know. They have not returned to this domain for a long time. Not since you were embraced. I wonder if they wait for you to find them. I wonder if they have given up altogether. Your crescent moon, the one tattooed to your hand, it represents that you are part of the hand without sun. The Talmahera.
Britta subconsciously looks at her hand, even though it's gloved, sort of tracing the outline of where the crescent moon would be.
I should warn you that our respective circles do not often get along.
You're not a part of my... of what used to be my...
I am in Kanu.
You don't work with the Talmahera.
Well, that depends on the relationship between you and I, doesn't it?
You're helping me now.
Am I?
I hope so.
I am not convinced that anything I have said will be any good for you.
That may be so, but I appreciate that you presented it. Honestly, I know it's risky. I know that there's no way to know the consequence of knowing it, and I know that the people who give me choice, that's something that I have to hold on to. So...
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
Because it is in the nature of the Talmahera. It will keep you separate from them, always. And if you find your circles again, they will take you away.
And I'll lose my will somehow.
Yes.
Even though I'm dead, even though I'm a vampire, I'm still of use to them somehow?
Of course. You see, Upton Rollins, Roman Pendragon, all men like them fail to understand that they are pawns. You are a pawn. You will always be a pawn. But with the Talmahera, you are theirs, a servant of their agenda, an agenda that does not include your coterie.
Then they shouldn't have left me on my own. Are they... You don't happen to know if they'd be looking for me?
that our Mahirah does not worry itself for inconsequential things. A failing, from my perspective. You see, as I said, there are all of these grand things going on everywhere. But the truth is, much like that star, there isn't very much we can do to move it, to blot it out, to seize control of it. It will happen. But what you can do, as she points out to Johnny kind of heading out into the parking lot, what you can affect has a much deeper personal meaning than any of this cosmic bullshit.
I hope so. I try to make it so. Thank you. Thank you, it really does mean a lot to me.
I hope you forget it and worry about things that matter.
You know what? If that's the best way that I can show you that I've listened, then I'm gonna go do that. Affect what I can.
I have no need of pawns. You need not do anything for me. She turns and just walks away.
Britta checks. She knows her glove is on, but she's double checking. She looks at Neil and she gives a few moments for Nyx to make her way down before just kind of stiffly going to make her own way down.
She's right, you know.
About what?
I've been putting a lot of thought into it ever since I don't think I told everybody too much about the things that I saw when I was in Baghdad, the conversations I had with Jubair, but these are the final nights, and all the signs are so small and all around us, and I've been thinking a lot about what it means for it to be the end of the world. And fighting it or not fighting it, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but I'm not going to fight it to save the whole world. I'm going to fight it because of you and Miles and Wynn and Johnny and the people I care about. I think that's why Raven is looking for books and why there are so many people doing so many little things. That's why all the elders are playing their elder games. I can't answer for you, I can only answer for me, but if it's the end of the world, what are you going to do to keep living? I know I answer, but that's why I think she's right. And he kind of nods his head towards the edge of the roof, down towards the parking lot area where they saw Johnny walk past.
All I know is that you guys found me, you chose me, and I chose you back. And I'm gonna keep doing that. So, let's go get Johnny. Finish out this night, and then you and I can go have our breakdowns.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'm a little overdue.
Yeah, me too.
Rumors are spreading like wildfire, some of which actually speaks rather highly of the Coterie's power. Some of it comments on how unusual it has become for the prince to be putting out hits on behalf of the followers of Set.
Wynn is still standing against the back wall. She's kind of just contemplating. Clearly the news of the impending hit against the Samaya person has hit Johnny and Weathers. Wynn's just already thinking about, all right, we have to kill this person to save Neil. This is weird, but I guess we'll do it.
Neil has come back down from the roof with Britta and looks very out of it still, whether it's something he talked about on the roof. I mean, he doesn't actually look that different from when he was told he has to go kill someone. Neil is a reasonably nonviolent individual. He looks like he's wrestling with this a lot and has this look like he's trying to harden himself to the idea of, like, I have to do this.
Britta's clearly deep in thought next to him. As they reapproach the gathering, she's looking around, trying to spot familiar faces, and the only one of the coterie she's able to spot, since Miles, I think, is still in his office, would be Wynn. So Britta leads Neil over, and her expression, it's clearly a lot on Britta's mind. She seems a bit stuck in her determination. As the two approach, Britta looks to Neil to try and check in.
All right. I realize it's not the best case scenario, but I'm glad we have you.
Yeah, I don't... And he stops himself from talking any further. He was very clearly about to talk about what just happened on the roof and then looks around the Elysium with all the prying ears and stops himself. I can't remember. Nevertheless, been on my mind. I can't remember if I said thank you or if I, but I'm glad to not be dead for the moment.
The feeling's pretty mutual, man.
And I'm worried about us, and I'm worried about our out-of-town guest, my out-of-town guest, and it was good news for Miles, right? The Seneschal, although Reese is going to be pissed.
Well, he was already going to be pissed when I brought the Toreador in to help.
Oh, no, he was. He was actively pissed, but like in a way that was more fun for me to watch.
Yeah. So long as we can keep his grace happy.
Yeah.
I think we need, well, actually, Wynn, you've got Neil for a bit, right?
Yeah.
All right.
What?
All right. I have to go apologize.
To who?
His grace.
Why?
For what?
For earlier, I mean, it wasn't unreasonable what he was asking, and I really should not have, like, it was so wrong of me to not want to just prove my loyalty. He deserves that, and with everything going on, I need to apologize, especially since there's more to it. There's more to it. It's not just his grace as we know him. There's something that we can help him with. We can help him become better.
Britta, I'm going to tell you this from a place of love. He will not care.
No. If we can break through to him, we can help him. We learned something up there that maybe is not the topic for right now. And I need to go and apologize to him and make it right.
Neil is just pinching the bridge of his nose and shaking his head.
I think we need to find Johnny. And I think we need to find Miles. And I think we need to have a little come to Jesus meeting.
After I go talk.
I don't think you need to be talking to his grace, and I don't think he'll see you anyway.
But he seemed really upset with me earlier, and with all that, I don't think that's fixed just because
Why do you think he's upset with you?
Well, because of the acknowledgement, and he said he couldn't trust me, and I don't want him to not be able to trust me. He should be able to trust me.
He said after he made you drink from him that he trusts you and that anyone who questions your loyalty is questioning him. Therefore, if you're questioning whether he thinks he's questioning your loyalty, you're asking if he's questioning himself.
Britta does seem a little stopped by that. It's unclear at first whether she's stopped by it by trying to figure out what Neil just said or whether it's appealing to her.
An apology would insult him.
You really think he would be more insulted? I want to show him that we can help him and that we can make him
into what
you
trust his judgment?
Yes.
Then trust that he trusts you.
Neil takes a step back, so he's like a pace or two behind Britta, slightly out of her sight line, and just lifts a thumbs up and nods to Wynn.
So then I should just go talk to him to let him know that we're going to help him through this.
I don't think we need to talk to him.
Britta is just scanning her brain for a reason at this point. It's visually
Britta,
apparent.
Maybe another time we'll have a free moment to be able to talk to him, but right now we all need to come together because this is big.
I understand where your head's at. Johnny didn't stick around for the verdict. Like, he didn't stick around to, like, come say hi, I mean, afterwards. Like, all of you did. Johnny left.
Britta looks around and notes that, yeah, he's absolutely missing.
He did not come up to hug me like everybody else did. And I know we're a coterie. We're a family, but Johnny didn't stick around. I'm worried about him right now, if I'm worried about anybody. He says, still giving Britta side eye. Like, he's very clearly worried about Britta, too, but this is not the place to say that.
All right. I guess we should find Johnny and Miles.
So, I will... Miles went towards the sheriff's office. I'll go get him. When can you...
We're going to step outside and look
Britta
for Johnny.
Yeah, you guys go look for Johnny. I'll go...
get Miles and make sure he's doing, see how, yeah, I think that's probably maybe for the...
Yeah, we're going to go look for Johnny.
Neil, habitually unable to end a sentence, just walks off towards the sheriff's office.
And Britta will shuffle off with Wynn, seeming a little dejected.
Come on, let's go see if Johnny's outside.
Okay.
Well, as they walk outside, once there's a door between them and the prying ears, Wynn kind of looks at Britta. I understand that you're hurting to be near him right now.
I really think that we can help him. I think that he's more than he seems to be.
And that might be so. I don't think tonight is a night where he's going to be real receptive to much.
I don't want him to hate me.
He doesn't. Britta, he wouldn't have had you drink from him if he hated you.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
If he hated you, he might have had you drink from him, but he would have made you go all the way. And he trusts you enough that this is enough.
I don't think I wouldn't. There's no... If he wanted me to do that, I'd want to do it too, and
I know right now you would. The blood bond does crazy things. I was mad about my sire for a while.
All right.
It gets better.
Let's find Johnny.
Yeah. Wynn kind of looks out over the parking lot and calls, Johnny?
There's no response. It looks like he may have left altogether.
Well, that's not fucking good. Wynn takes out her phone and calls Johnny's beeper.
Miles, you're alone in the office, and a lot has just happened. What are you doing?
I'm currently sitting in the chair of the sheriff's office, and I'm kind of going through the drawers and seeing if there's any notes left, any articles that I should be taking out. I'm trying to keep busy, but I'm also going through the events of the earlier that night again, and it's starting to come back, and now that we're not dealing with a crisis, and the fact that in some ways I'm far out of my depths without somebody to manage a lot of this stuff that I had to manage. And part of it is the loss of a friend and a person that I talk to a lot. And I'm just not entirely sure what to do besides try to keep busy.
Miles.
Yes?
I can feel your doubt. Why do you do this? Why do you choose to suffer?
There's some sort of adage about suffering equaling humanity. Seems appropriate.
Are you human? Because I don't think it's appropriate.
I think it's something I should aim for most days.
Perhaps should. But I know your truth.
It's easier to give away to it. Just let it go. It would be way easier.
Do you not see? You have struggled so hard. So hard, and made so many sacrifices of your own dignity in order to protect those you love. But here we are. You know you will have to kill Johnny. You know that this is coming to that end. And then what? It'll be the death of your consciousness.
We don't. No, that's going to be the ultimate end.
Yes. Yes, we do. I know it because I've seen the future. And you know it because he's already left. He's already gone. So what will it be? Will you fail the prince and kill Neo? Will you honor the prince's demands and kill Maya and Johnny when he inevitably moves to protect her? Or will you destroy his grace, reducing all of your efforts to preserve his position as prince to ash? In what way shall you fail?
I'll find a way through. I always have.
Is that what you think on life is? Perpetual victory? Why don't you find a way to save your ghoul? Were it so easy?
He kind of slams his fist into the desk and is like, I'm done.
Yes. Yes, Miles, be done.
This conversation is over for now.
No, Miles. It is not.
Knock, knock.
He is visibly closing his eyes and just trying not to sigh too heavily.
Neil, like, pushes the door open a little bit, but doesn't enter until being acknowledged, and again says, knock, knock.
Yes.
Okay, well, I wanted an invitation.
Enter.
Okay, thank you. It's the sheriff's office. Seems weird, Seneschal. Hey, I'm worried about Johnny. He kind of bailed before everything was really, are you doing okay?
No.
I know.
Did he know Amaya? I don't know.
I don't really know Amaya.
Neither do I. But that seems a track.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of yelling later. I don't want to do this. I mean, it has to happen, but like, that's not, I just want to get it out there before all the yelling starts that this is not something I'm looking forward to.
No, I don't prefer to do this in this particular fashion.
But, I mean, it's either this or what? Welch on the deal with the Sedites and kill every single one of them? Like, right. That's not feasible.
I'm not too pleased that the Sedites seem to have found a workaround.
Well, I mean, you had to expect that they were going to pull some bullshit, especially since we've been out of the domain so much.
Where's everyone else?
Brit is getting real...
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So Wynn took her outside, ostensibly to look for Johnny. I don't know where he went. So I'm hoping he's just out in the parking lot, but, you know, like I said, he disappeared around the same time Weathers did.
So Miles will pick up the couple items and then move around to the landline phone and call Wynn's cell phone.
Yeah.
Do you have eyes on him?
No. I called out for him. I called his beeper. He hasn't responded yet. I have the feeling I know where he is.
It's not safe for us to be walking around out there.
Do you guys want to come?
Yeah, I feel like... hi, sorry, I'm listening. I know I'm not supposed to, but...
I kind of assume you always are, Neil.
Not always. I think it's better to move in groups right now, considering... I mean, beyond the fact that the killing spree... If I was Amaya and I heard about this, I'd just run out of nowhere, punch my head off, and leave.
All right, we can come in to meet you.
But we'll come out.
Just come outside.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see you. I'll see you soon.
All right, bye.
Don't come in. Don't. And then he like lowers his voice. Up. Don't let. Now she knows. Do you need help moving your stuff?
No.
Do you need a place to put it?
Also a no.
Okay, I'm just trying to help. Trying to be a friend.
I'm gonna take my car.
Okay.
So I don't know where we're going. But
I don't know. Wind
it doesn't really fit more than three people tops.
So we need to take a cab again? Fine.
I'm pretty sure Johnny came here and something, so we need to take that. Anyways, go down. We'll go.
Okay. That's fine. Let's get out of here.
And he grabs like a small set of items and just kind of pockets a few of them and goes downstairs.
Neil shadows after.
So the group of you saddle up and get ready to head out. Miles, as you're getting ready to peel out, in your rear view mirror, you can see a pickup truck kind of drive by, blaring very, very, very loud nu metal. And that's when you catch it, the glint of a newly lit flame and the arc of a Molotov cocktail crashing into the front of the Elysium. Two more connect, and one of them waves a pistol, blam, 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 starts firing off, and cackling wild, the group goes speeding off as Elysium is set ablaze.
We need to go back.
Shit.
As they're hit and start getting ready to take off to the road, you hear, like, just this chanting. Freedom! Freedom! Freedom!
We need to go help.
Yep.
Wynn
takes off running for the back door.
It is difficulty 9 on a courage challenge to enter a burning building.
I'm not going in.
Yeah, that's why she's running around to the back. She's not going inside yet.
The building is on fire. Your beast is not rationally at a point where it realizes that you can maintain a safe distance.
Mm-hmm. I'm not planning on going into the building.
Is it just straight courage?
It is a straight courage roll.
No success.
I'm spending a willpower. One success.
With one success, you can muster the courage to go in.
Wynn kind of throws open the back door to the Elysium and yells as loud as she can, "Everyone come this way now!"
Britta's unable to muster the courage. She assumes the posture to get in the building, but her beast holds her back in the face of the flames, and she watches Wynn with big, grateful eyes.
Miles, where is the stuff from Boston?
At my house.
Shit. Okay.
We're gonna make sure there's not any kind of people waiting around the outside for people to flee away from here.
Good thought.
And Neil puts up his senses to make sure that this is not, like, similar to what the Sabbat did with a throw things there in ambush.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You do notice that a lot of the servants who protect the area start working to actually fight the fire. It's very dark and it had rained earlier, but the clouds kind of like thicken and some rain starts to come down over the fire.
I don't see anybody like waiting to pop an ambush.
No.
Does there seem to be a fire extinguisher inside the door?
Yes.
Wynn grabs the fire extinguisher and keeps the path out the back door clear.
Okay. People start rushing out. They are not gathering outside of the Elysium. Some of them just take off running on foot into the night. Others head for their cars, and they just start peeling out. Everyone is just scrambling to get away.
Does His Grace come out?
The prince is not seen leaving, but it is not uncommon for him to have his own means of escape.
Have we seen Elsa?
Yes.
Nyx?
Nyx is seen and then not so seen.
Renwick?
Renwick is never seen.
That's okay. Looking for other members of the Primogen Council?
By and large, everyone seems to make it out.
Okay.
There's no one reported that's like was right where the flames really started kicking up.
Okay.
So the warning kind of gives everyone plenty of time to just be out of there.
Mm-hmm. Already outed and not having the means to just fix stuff, seeing the cloud cover already start and knowing that it's sort of a cumulative effect, Neil just looks at Miles and goes, there's nobody here. This was a hit and run. We're okay. And then takes like a fake breath and also tries to add to the weather just to speed the process up.
Okay. It takes a little while, but by the time the fire department arrives, the fire has been put out. And it's not anything crazy. It does look like some of the wall got scorched and it was more of an act of, like, vandalism than a full-on, like, attack.
Certainly not masquerade breachy.
No, not at all.
Right, but it's putting people on edge.
It has definitely caused some panic for the court.
Britta has been watching each and every face as they come out, helping people if they need any, like, assistance. Maybe if they trip, she'll help them up. But she is watching each exit very carefully and does not seem willing to leave.
Wynn kind of gives Britta a look. Stay here. And Wynn disappears into the building looking for the prince.
Neil tries to say something, but she's already gone into the building.
When you get to the prince's private quarters, it looks like he's already taken off and left, probably let out by the Nosferatu.
Wynn reports back outside. He's not there. Someone got him out.
Britta, who has been hovering by the door, technically saying where Wynn told her to stay, kind of like nods several times and has that human instinct to take, like, a breath in. Thank you.
No problem. We gotta find Johnny.
Well, so yeah. I was gonna say, we're reaching the point where we're just lingering around outside of a fire, and if we hang out too much longer, there's gonna be mortal questions, so okay. We should go either way.
Yeah. All right. Let's find him.
Okay. I'll find Johnny's car.
All right.
Just follow me.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Wait, are we doing this on foot?
Johnny, you sit at the bar, the old rundown O'Toole's, and they keep the tequila coming.
I think Johnny's actually asked for the bottle at this point.
They acquiesce. You can kind of hear the sounds of buttons being mashed over at the arcade as two people kind of enjoy a fighting game together. There's some music playing, a lot of like classic rock, and again, people seem to avoid your menacing presence. It isn't until you feel a shadow cast over you that anyone comes near you at all. As you turn, you recognize the familiar face of Wynn.
Hey, buddy. Thought I might find you here.
Hey. Want a drink? He reaches over the bar, grabs a rocks glass, sets it down next to his own, and kind of sloppily pours a drink in both rocks glasses, spilling plenty on the counter as well.
Wynn, as he's moving the bottle, takes it from him and kind of sets it in her lap, and she will spend the blood to be able to take that drink with him.
How'd the rest of the night go? Yeah. Chuck slugs back the tequila in the glass.
Wynn slugs back her own. Oh, God, you have horrible taste.
Kind of his head wobbles a little bit, and he cracks a smile after a second. Puts his rocks glass over towards her, where the bottle is, looking to get a refill.
Wynn kind of takes the plug out of the tequila bottle and takes a swig from the bottle, hands it to him.
He pours himself another drink.
She takes the drink and drinks it so he doesn't get an entire drink. It's not going to be one of those nights, man.
Is it not? What changed? He puts the bottle down, realizing he's kind of lost that fight, and pulls out a Morley, lights up.
You and I are going to talk for a few minutes. We can do that here, or we can take a walk. Everyone else is outside waiting for us.
Oh, are they?
Well, you didn't come congratulate Neil.
I figure him being alive is something we can celebrate another night.
That's not what you're doing now.
I'm trying to collect my thoughts.
I imagine you got a bunch.
Oh, I do.
Come on, out with them. Who is she to you?
Who? Amaya?
Yep.
A friend? Another bruja who's got their heart in the right place?
Because I'm going to tell you right now, she's nobody to me.
What's that mean?
I don't know, man.
Means you're ready to murk her? Do the dirty work of the Setites? Through the mouthpiece of Roland's?
If that's what's needed to keep my coterie alive.
There's a lot of options on how to keep your coterie alive.
Well, let's talk them through, because it's not my first choice. We've always found a way to make it work. And you getting shit-faced in some bloody stool bar.
This is a very fine establishment.
Very fine establishment, lurking just above the gutter.
And they have the very best Jose Carlos here, son.
Yeah, that's not a worm in the bottom of the bottle, by the way. That's a monarch caterpillar.
All right.
You went after Weathers, didn't you?
Yeah, the old man's gone. I don't know if he's coming back. He told me I'm Primogen.
Oh, shit. Wynn kind of clinks the glass against his cigarette.
Just bends the cigarette right out of shape. Just this crooked, ugly thing.
Johnny shakes his head. I don't think I'm Primogen. Just because Weathers said that's the case, and he's leaving town, I don't think any of the other bruja in the city would follow me or believe that I was Primogen.
They followed Weathers.
They did. Until Shaw offered him something better. Ever since then, he's been living on borrowed time.
You know what I think, Johnny?
What do you think?
I think the bruja in the city have forgotten what it means to be bruja. And I think they need someone like you to teach them how.
That's cute.
You think so? I was working on it in your truck on the way over.
I don't think I'm anyone to teach them how to be bruja. I think they're being just as brujas as they should be. They see that the city's weak, the prince is weak, and New Haven doesn't trust the clan and constantly shits on the clan. They see that Pendragon's actually offering them a chance to have something. I don't believe that they're doing anything wrong.
They're being a bunch of shitheads. They're doing everything wrong. They're the reason the city doesn't trust the Bruja anymore, because they sold out. They didn't follow their hearts. They weren't like fucking warrior poets. They were fucking sellouts. Every single one of them. And the only two who didn't fucking sell out, Johnny Saxon, is you and Weathers. So who of anyone else in the city is better to teach them how to be proper Bruja again?
His shoulders sag. He kind of looks down at his Morley. He puts it out, looks at you in the face. You can see that his eyes are a little bit unfocused, but his vision starts to kind of coalesce when he finally makes eye contact with you. My clan has been surviving. And if that's selling out, I'm terrified what it is to know what it is to be that I've been doing. Because right now the prince told me that I gotta kill another bruja to appease the Setites, or my coterie mate dies. And me taking that shit and not saying anything about it, that sounds like selling out.
Do you think I was going to suggest you take it lying down?
No. But how do I take it?
I don't know. I think up the ass at this point, but we're kind of in that position a lot. And we always manage to find our way out. If it comes down to it, yeah, I will kill your friend and I will probably damage our relationship irreparably.
Wynn, what the fuck are you and I doing in the Camarilla?
I really don't know, man. I'm here for them.
What are any of us doing in the Camarilla?
Surviving.
I mean, Neil's better off with his Asmite friends. Who knows where the fuck Britta belongs? You and I? What are we doing here? I get why Miles is doing it.
Wynn takes another slug from the tequila bottle and shakes her head. Buddy, I ask myself that same question all the time. The only thing it comes back to is this coterie. And until now, that's been enough, but now we're facing down the barrel of splitting us up. Because you're not going to help with this.
I can't.
I know. And I'm not going to let Neil die. But I'm not going to let you stand by yourself.
The only thing that's killing Neil are the orders of an insane Ventru prince who doesn't know up from down or right from wrong, who's been fucking obliterated by the Tremere and is now a shadow of any vampire that he used to be. We have so many options other than going against Amaya. I could give Pendragon a call, and I could probably get a Bruja hit squad in here to take out the prince tomorrow. I could run away to the Anarchs and tell Amaya about this. Maybe get a group of them to help us take him out.
I don't think this is a talk for you and me, man. I think we gotta be honest with our people about this.
The coterie?
Yep. Because I don't care what we do, but we do it together.
I don't know if this is the me talking or the tequila, but I don't trust Miles has our intentions at heart. I think he's got the Ventru clan intentions at heart.
Well, maybe this is his coming to Jesus meeting, too. Maybe at this point he's got to choose. And maybe that makes our decision for us.
Am I any better if I put him in that position? Because I don't want to go against my clan?
I don't think you're going against your clan. I think you're going against a friend. It sucks. This whole shit show fucking sucks. And the easiest way out of this is we cut off the head. But you and I aren't doing that on our own.
Yeah.
Wynn offers the bottle.
Johnny finishes the bottle off, sets it down, takes a moment kind of staring at it. Wobbly kind of reaches into his jacket, pulls out the Morleys, sees there's only one left, takes it out, drops it on the counter. Kind of nods to you like he's ready to go.
Don't admit defeat yet, Johnny Saxon.
His eyebrows kind of arch up, like as if he's kind of impressed with the funny joke you just said. A few crumpled bills come out, drops on the counter. He pops the cigarette in his mouth and lights up. Gets up and kind of wobbly stands up to his feet.
Wynn is quick on her feet to make sure he doesn't fall over.
He puts a hand out, reaches out, and kind of holding onto your shoulder, follows you outside.
Path of Night is an actual play of Vampire the Masquerade podcast set in the classic world of darkness. Britta Ashcroft the Toreador was played by Rebecca Steigelfest. Johnny Saxon the Bruja was played by Garrett Gabby. Miles Davenport the Ventru was played by Tim Davis. Neil Foster the Malkavian was played by Rob Muirhead. Wynn Cabot the Gangrel was played by Erica Webb. Your storyteller was Lex Lopez. Recording by Rebecca Steigelfest. This episode was edited by Rob Muirhead. The music used in this episode was January Grunge Love Fest by Technoaxe. Visit them online at technoaxe.com. Path of Night uses the 20th Anniversary Edition rule set of Vampire the Masquerade with a few limited house rules. Vampire the Masquerade is owned by Paradox Interactive. Make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Path of Night Pod, on Facebook at facebook.com/Path of Night Podcast, or email us at pathofnightpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time, Kindred.
Pogs definitely right, actually does
definitely
feel like
out free 99, which means Neil definitely has a shit ton of pogs.
They're great. They're cardboarding gross.
So I need to blood token cool. Pogs.
Time to have an Avenger that slings slammers.
Oh, no.
What's up, kids? Here's my tech deck.
Rides in on a skateboard to rescue people.
I mean, honestly, it's very Hunter the Reckoning.
Stop being fucking, so into that.
Have a fucking Avenger just, like, roll up and smash your brains in with a cleaved fucking skateboard. Like, that's a thing.
No, ride a skateboard and then use the throwing cleave and the send slammers through sucks. Vampires.
The throwing cleave, no matter
what. It's a one-shot in tabletop.
What's a slammer?
It's a one-shot? How the fuck is it a one-shot?
Because it's ag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Imagine someone risking conviction on an attack roll that does ag against you.
Yep. Yeah, I just fucking die because a pog slammer hit me in the
you
forehead.
You just die of slammeritis, and you're just done.
I feel like the flaming dunnest. Part had some effect on
you
that.
You realize
but, you
fucking,
know.
You could just have, like, a sick hacky sack bro that, like, flings hacky sack.
Just red dots people to death. I fucking miss Hacky Sack. All right, so...
Please don't undermine Hunter the Reckoning's coolness that hard.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
I had those.
Fucking devil sticks, baby! Mm-hmm.
That was like the yo-yo where you didn't have to worry about pulling it back up and did it on its own?
Yeah, it was just... there was also, yeah, the self-winding yo-yos.
Automated yo-yos?
Yeah, the yo-yo box.
Those things are bullshit and fake.
The 90s definitely had the weird yo-yo revival for a while.
Yeah.
Everybody was into, like,
I learned
fucking
all of my yo-yo tricks.
All the,
like
competition yo-yo shit, which, by the way, you could definitely have a fucking, like, goddamn Avenger show up with a cleave yo-yo and, like...
Dude, honestly, that sounds awesome. It's like some like fucking like 12-year-old like Avenger with a
Cascado
yo-yo.
Bitch.
I mean, yo-yo weapons have been around
walk
for
the dog,
a while, and they're
bitch.
Pretty great.
Around the fucking world.
Around the world.
Seriously, like I was like fucking the beginning of Turtles, right?
Yep, Turtles
yeah.
too.
Yep.
But that's when they stopped being able to use weapons.
But I'm just like I'm imagining like
anytime you in the 90s, anytime you were like yo-yos are lame. To people who really like yo-yos, they went on like a random out of nowhere history spiel about how they like originally were weapons. At like, I just so many kids randomly had like weird warrior yo-yo history knowledge.
Yeah,
never had
important.
Someone write them.
Yeah,
really,
either.
That happened to me like three fucking times.
That might just be a U case.
Yeah. It happened so often, I assumed it was universal.
No?
Remember when we used to be on a podcast?
No.
Yeah, it was our yo-yo podcast. I remember that.
I thought we were recording another episode of Beast Mode. It should not have been set in the 90s.
Yeah, no, you made a mistake. Look, I understand it's a very cool year and a cool setting, but, like, you fucked us up.
By Sinbad's genie movie. This has gone wildly out of control. All right.